We're going to call this meeting of the committee of the whole together this evening, and I'm going to ask that the clerk call the roll so we can establish the presence of the quorum.
Alex.
Here.
Ammons. Ammons. Anderson.
Here.
Benzel.
Here.
Berkson.
Here.
Betts.
Here.
Carter. Cowart.
Here.
Esrey.
Here.
Holderfield.
Here.
James. Here. Jay.
There.
Jones. Jones.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Mosher. Nudo.
Nudo.
Hey. O'Connor.
Here.
Petrie.
Here.
Quisenberry.
Here.
Richards.
Present.
Rosales.
Here.
Staff. Schrader.
Yes.
Weibel.
I do believe we have the presence of a quorum. The clerk will take note if anyone shows up that wasn't called on the roll. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the Committee of the Whole for May 10th, 2011.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. James, seconded by Mr. Esrey. Discussion. Additions or corrections? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Chair would entertain a motion to approve the agenda and any addendum. Moved by Ms. Petrie, seconded by Ms. Cowart. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Any public participation this evening?
Thank you.
Seeing none, communications from members of the board. Mr. Kurtz.
I just want to say a thank you to Ms. Katborg. She's going to be leaving us, and I want to tell you that in the 3.5 years I've been here, she has been irreplaceable. She's wonderful and has done tremendous work for this board. I'm sure we all feel the same way. But where she's going and what she's going to be doing is wonderful, too. I want to wish her the best of luck, and I know that one day we will see Kat Board, Attorney at Law, Esquire, as one of our perhaps board members one of these days. Congratulations, Kat, and we wish her the best.
Another one joining that profession. I'll help you with the bar. You'll never pass. Any other communications from members of the board? Seeing none, Ms. Cowart, if you could come up and address the committee regarding highway and transportation.
Agenda for Highway Transportation is the monthly report for the county and township motor fuel taxes for May 2011.
Move to receive and place on file.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Next thing is the county engineer's report.
Just a couple of housekeeping items quickly. On resolutions 1 and 2, the date of the letting was shown as the wrong date. We have changed that and forwarded, I believe, copies of the new resolutions to CAP, but instead of April 20th, 2010, it should be May the 26th of 2011. Some cutting and pasting errors there. All of the bridge projects that are on here, which are items 1, 2, 3, and 7, have come before you for bridge petitions as well as resolutions appropriating monies for these projects. I have passed out at each of your seats a copy of the bid tabs that show the numerous bidders that we had on these projects. And if there aren't any big questions about any of these bridge projects, I've had a suggestion from one of the board members that maybe we could do an omnibus motion for 1s, 2, 3, and 7 and approve all the bridge projects in one motion.
As I was the suggester, I'll make that omnibus motion for 1, 2, 3, and 7 for approval, please.
Second.
Sam.
I know we're talking about bridges, but I was lucky enough to travel County Highway 23.
Yeah.
That is one rough road.
Yes, it is.
And some of the people I know in town and even in Gibson City were talking to me about it. Is there any plans in the future to do anything with that road?
It's definitely in our five-year plan. The issue that we have up there is there's a lot of narrow shoulders, deep ditches, and right-of-way issues. There was movement afoot 10 to 15 years ago to try to do something with that road, and there was right-of-way that needed to be purchased to widen the shoulders in order to get it to state IDOT standards, and the engineer was not successful in securing that right-of-way. So we need to get back into that mode and see what we need to do up there. I know that's probably one of our poorest riding roads and one of our heavily traveled roads in the county as well.
Yeah, it's pretty chewed up right now. It's about like Murray Road and Rantoul, but I guess one comment I'm just going to say, that's why I sort of begrudge doing newer and other roads and places that I feel that we have roads we need to take care of.
Okay, all in favor of having an omnibus go for 1, 2, 3, and 7. Say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed to it?
Similarly, items 4 and 5, these are not highway or county projects. These are actually township projects. They're grade crossing protection fund projects where the Illinois Commerce Commission has suggested that the grade crossings be upgraded with lights and signals, and it's up to the township to do the road work approach on those projects. We grouped a bunch of those projects together and had a bid on the same day of May the 26th. None of that money is actually coming directly from the highway fund. We will pay for it, but we'll get reimbursed through the Illinois Commerce Commission. They are township projects, but I, since they are multiple township projects and multiple townships, the ICC wanted somebody to make an award of a contract, so I'm bringing that before you to award those contracts as well, and would like to take items 4 and 5 in one motion if we could.
So moved, please.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. It's open up for discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Okay, item 6, awarding the contract for the 2011 pavement striping of various county highways in Champaign County. The low bidder was Varsity Striping at $149,514.30. This is to stripe all the roads that the county has, as well as some village streets such as in Savoy and Thomasboro and some of the townships where we get reimbursed directly from them for those costs. It was a single bidder, but a local company. The bid was well below the engineer's estimate, so I'd ask for your approval of that resolution.
So moved.
It's been moved and second, and it's open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Item number 8 is a resolution authorizing the county board chair to sign the cooperative agreement for the member agencies of COOTS. This does not establish any kind of funding. It just basically lays out the duties of all the different entities and talks about the voting members and the committee responsibilities for COOTS. There's really nothing in here. It's just an agreement that has to be updated periodically for the FHWA. Nothing has changed tremendously. Like I said, there's no funding tied in this agreement. It's just for...
So moved.
It's been moved and second. It's open for discussion. Carolyn, then Patsy.
I just want to ask, the COOTS agreement, all of the entities are together and they're partners on trying to develop a good transportation system for the entire area. At one point, I think I was attending the meetings at one point when it was downtown Champaign, and I was never clear on, do they actually establish transportation for, like, Rantoul, for instance, coming into the Champaign-Urbana area, or what the purpose would be for
that? COOTS is a metropolitan planning organization, which means everything within the Champaign-Urbana urbanized area. So it includes Savoy. We're getting real close to having Tolono in there because they're getting real close, but it's basically Savoy, Champaign, and Urbana. It actually goes out to Bonneville, but does not go out to Mahomet or up to Rantoul. It's just for the metropolitan planning area, which is established by the Federal Highway Administration based on the number of people that are in the metropolitan area.
And so this is designed to improve public transportation, correct?
Well, it's for all transportation, not only mass transit, but for roads, bridges, bicycles, all different types of transportation in the metro area.
Yes, an information question. The establishment of the MPO and thus COOTS, are the guidelines and what establishes this agency as to what entities are included in the agency?
There are guidelines to the FHWA. We're very unique in that we actually have the university in our MPO. A lot of college towns don't have the university, but our university actually owns roads, which is kind of unique as well. We just don't have the city maintaining and owning the roads through the university. But yeah, the other entities are set up through the FHWA.
So are you explaining to us the foundational guideline as to what entities are invited to be part of COOTS is based on who owns the roads?
It's basically who does services within the metropolitan planning area. You've got MTD, obviously. You've got U of I, Champaign-Urbana, the county. We have a number of different agencies. So it's whoever basically touches the transportation system in the community.
All right, thank you.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
One last thing. Under other business, there was a resolution that we inadvertently left off of the committee of the whole agenda. It was placed on your table there. It's a resolution establishing the Class 2 truck route for County Highways 11 and 32. If you remember, a few board meetings ago, we passed a resolution authorizing the chair to sign an agreement between IDOT and the county to do the road work on County Roads 11 and 32. That is a federally funded project where we are actually getting what they call TARP money, which is Truck Access Route Program money from IDOT in order to match the federal dollars. And when you get that type of money, you have to design the roadway to meet load limits of 80,000 pounds, and thus you have to pass a resolution establishing a Class 2 designated truck route, which in this day and age, doesn't mean a lot, because basically every route everywhere in the state is an 80,000-pound truck route based on the state legislature. So this is really a formality that IDOT has us do. It used to be a big deal that we were establishing an 80,000-pound truck route, but this is a formality in order to get the truck access route program money. We got to go out and post it as a Class 2 truck route after the project is completed, but this resolution needs to be down to IDOT in June. That's why it is. We would like for it to go directly to the county board on June 23rd.
Move approval of the formality.
Second. Approved and second is open for discussion. Michael?
Just real quickly on the back of this resolution, it says Marty Halton instead of Gordy. Before he signs it, you might want to change it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thank you.
Any more discussion?
I'm not sure you can move it. Jeff is just letting me know it will be placed on the county board agenda without being approved at committee of the hall first. And I think a motion might be out of order.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay, then.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I think you should ask the mover and the seconder to withdraw the motion.
I withdraw the motion.
Withdraw.
Okay. Accepted. Okay, there's nothing really to go on consent agenda because everything is approved.
Everything goes on a consent agenda.
I mean, go on a consent agenda.
Regular agenda, yes. It's a long time. Right.
Okay. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Finance. Item A1, a budget amendment 110025 for $43,703 to accommodate scheduled aerial photography contract for GIS consortium members. Is there a motion for approval by Stan, seconded by Michael? Any discussion? Patsy.
I asked this during caucus meeting, and just as a general source of information, would it be possible when we have items like this, they are revenue neutral, but some indication as to the source of the funding?
I believe you can see the source of the funding on the budget amendment itself. It is coming from the various entities who are member agencies of GIS Consortium. They're each paying their fair contribution towards this aerial photography.
Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Second item, an amendment 110026 for $281,211. These are road improvements at railroad crossings at various locations. Is there a motion for approval by John?
Second.
Second by Geraldo. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. The third item is an amendment 110022 for $500 from the coroner. Reimbursement of funds from the sale of the coroner 1995 van. Is there a motion for approval by Brad? Is there a second by Al? Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Pretty grateful dead man. Fourth item is amendment 110027 for $34,000 in appropriations. This is to create a line item to pay interest on building construction bonds. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
By Stephanie, seconded by Stan. Is there a discussion? Diane.
I may be wrong, but would there not already be a line item in the budget for this? I don't understand why we're creating.
Because you approved the budget the same month that you approved the issuance of these bonds, and we had no idea of knowing what the principal and interest payments would be. So it was not included in the 2011 budget. It will be in the 2012. Okay, thanks.
Any other discussion on this item? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, B1, the Sheriff's Office, the COPS hiring program request. Is there a motion for approval by Al? Is there a second?
Second.
By Jan. Discussion. Chris.
I'd just like to express my thanks to the Sheriff and his staff for finding, at least potentially finding other sources of funding for the county during these difficult times. I mean, if we can really get $440,000 to help improve the staffing in the Sheriff's Department, that's the music to all of our ears, I think.
Very good. Any questions for the sheriff? He's here tonight as well. Al? Alan? Little Al compared to Big Al?
Has nothing. No, I just had a question, Sheriff, about this covers salaries, benefits?
This covers salaries and benefits for 3 years.
Equipment?
No, but we've got equipment. We've got used cars. I mean, yeah, we can cover all that.
Everything else, so.
Correct.
No other questions. Thank you.
Questions, Patsy, then Carol.
Oh, okay. After the 3 years, where's the funding going to come from?
That, to some extent, is quite frankly unknown. The sixth year, my guess is, with benefits and salary, those two deputies combined will be about $160,000. Now, right now, we have a $10 million budget. Can I fudge a little here and there? I don't know. A lot depends on gas prices and the number of prisoners I house at that time, or the next sheriff, whoever has it. But, I mean, there is no guaranteed source of funding other than, and I will say this, when the budget cuts came along and the economy went sour. First off, there was a federal grant, but at the time, Ms. Busey and I talked, and we had to be certain we were going to let people go. And at that point when we had to apply for the grant, we couldn't say for sure. Well, it happened after that, so we missed the first grant. What we've done, because we've lost a couple road deputies because of the budget. We also lost a couple for other reasons, you know, normal attrition, and we've kind of delayed filling some of that. What I did was take our street crimes unit. That's a group of three deputies and one sergeant. They primarily work drugs, but they also do a lot of directed patrol. Like, for example, if I have, let's say, a burglary problem in Scottswood, I can pull them, change their shift, and they could work Scottswood for a week in a row, walking, basically walking a beat or whatever you want. They're a very useful move-around tool. When they are working the primary drug enforcement, because of the nature of drugs, besides confiscating drugs and guns, they also inherently confiscate cash and other assets. Just to give you an idea, when that unit was up and running, on a yearly average, we confiscated about drug dealers donated to the county about $23,000, and they gave us about $27,000 in other assets out of the goodness of their heart per year. I cannot use that money for salaries, but I can use it to defer other costs and then ship it. But no, I can't cover, and I don't know exactly where we'll get $160,000. That's 4 years down the road. Hopefully, the economy will improve.
Carol, passing. Anything else?
Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The County Clerk's Office, ordinance establishing statutory fees for marriage and civil union licenses. Is there a motion for approval by Lorraine? Is there a second? By Al. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. D, I've canvassed here tonight, and he and I have talked ahead of time. My suggestion is that he overview these five related items, and if it's agreeable to you, you might be interested in passing them in an omnibus fashion. But Cam, if you could, come on up, and before we make motions, we'll have him overview these five items together. Stan?
Do I have to abstain since I'm on the CRIS advisory board?
Mm-hmm.
No. I get in trouble, I'll repeat that.
We're guessing no.
Thank you.
Cam, please.
Okay, great. Thank you. These five items that are on here are all related to the World Transit, Provisional World Transit with CRIS World Transit Services. You know, you previously actually made these decisions several months ago, and let me just start with the budget amendments because they're fairly simple. The county will be receiving both state and federal funds and then passing those monies through to support World borrow transit through CRIS. So these budget amendments are just to recognize the receipt of those particular funds. And, you know, we always have to have two budget amendments because one's for odd years and one's for even years. Right now, we expect that to be about $588,000 a year between the state and federal dollars. Obviously, that could go up or down depending on state and federal budget decisions. The first three items on here, you previously passed an ordinance, intergovernmental agreement, regarding the rural transit. At the time that was passed, it wasn't clear, at least to us, that RPC would actually be administering this on behalf of the county. So these are really just updates of some previous documents that you passed, adding RPC to the mix, designating us to administer these funds and work with CRIS on behalf of the county, and clarifying some roles and responsibilities in terms of the administration of these dollars between us and CRIS. You know, with that, I mean, I could certainly go into more detail if anybody has any questions. I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions for Kim? Or a motion? Oh, sorry, go ahead, Carol.
I guess this is my question that was pertaining to the KUWAS. I've received many questions about rural transportation. I don't understand where that transportation actually is. And so with these funds, what is the purpose of them?
Well, I know that we have some rural transit up and running currently between Rantoul and Champaign. Amy from CRIS is here tonight. It might be better to direct that question to her. Maybe she can talk about what the current routes are and what the planned rural transit routes are. Amy, if you don't mind.
From the mic, please. Thank you. And please tell us who you are.
Good evening. I'm Amy Marchand. I'm the CEO of CRIS Rural Mass Transit. And there's an advisory group formed. It took 2 years to design the service. It accumulated people from all over the Champaign County area, from social services to constituents, just a significant mix of people to study the population, to do surveys. We conducted nearly 900 surveys in the community to determine that the poverty in the northern county area, specifically in the Ludlow area, Rantoul area, and Thomasboro would be the primary target for transportation. And to be especially specific, the area is the Rantoul High School Township area, because we had to create a boundary. And so that's the specific boundary that we're focused on. It's intended that that boundary will grow, but you have to start somewhere, and so that's the focus.
Go ahead, please, Carol.
Do you provide actual public transportation? My understanding is that people have to still pay a lot more than we
think. The fare for transit is $5 each way, and that is designed by the advisory committee and actually was discussed in detail at the last advisory committee, and it was determined to continue with that level of funding at this time. And Dan might be able to speak more to that, but that's specifically where we are at this point for fares.
We'll try to keep Stan from speaking to too much here.
I'm sorry.
If you don't mind, Carol, okay. What else? Anything else?
Just one more.
All right.
Indulge me.
Finish it up.
Just the last one is, then the revenue that is here being appropriated is to do what?
Is to specifically pay for the operating cost for to provide rural transit in that area. So the cost is for the, we have funding for equipment. We're actually borrowing vehicles from Vermilion County to provide the service. So the equipment is currently being used at that point, and the rest of it is for the actual day-to-day operating expenses. Needless to say, fuel is very significant, all of the insurances, coverages, liability, drivers, those sort of things.
James first, then Alan, then Stan.
Well, to follow up a little bit, I know that the word is getting out. We've been talking about it. It's been slow moving when you're dealing with a rural area, not in such a concentrated area. Plus, we decided on the fee based on that if you took a cab, what it would cost. And we know some of these folks need every dollar they can get, but we also don't want anybody to abuse the service because they are coming from Rantoul all the way to Champaign, Urbana, and dropping folks off, and there's elderly using it. The buses have been on the road. I tried to get them to buy the $500 van, but they just didn't see a need for it.
Anything else?
I'm going to change James's name to Quiz, just to make clear. So, Quiz, you're next.
Yeah, my question would be, I would assume that the reason why we're funding it is because fares cannot sustain this. So what percentage of your operations do fares pay for?
Fares at this time, if I recall correctly, are approximately 2% of the budget. It's a very small piece of the budget.
So while $5 for a trip may seem like a lot, it's not really paying for the cost of the service to be there.
No, to provide public transportation is an extremely expensive process.
Ellen, refresh me. I know the last time we went through this, you made a kind of overall broad brushstroke of what we're doing in Danville to Champaign. How many trips a day is there a trip back and forth there, Danville?
You mean between Danville and Broomfield in Champaign County?
How many trips do you offer?
Well, we don't specifically do the trips between Champaign and Danville. Danville Mass Transit does. Chris originally did design that route and established it. Started with 7 rides a week and ended the year with 13,000 rides a week. So that's the, I'm sorry, 13,000 rides a year. That's the number.
But how many times a day does the bus go back and forth?
It goes back and forth 7 times a day now, if you're talking about between Danville and Champaign.
Yeah. I'd like to see the same thing happen in Rantoul, because that, I think, is a bedroom community. And probably you'd have greater ridership. I know 60% of our residents work in Champaign.
Yeah, it's a very slow-moving process. It starts slow and it builds. So that's about a 7-year time span between the Danville and Champaign route. So we can expect to see progress every year, but it will be slow because you have to teach rural people to ride the bus. It's not in their mentality. It's very different. The idea of getting on a bus is, you know, you pull up and they need to let the dog out still. That's the kind of mentality sometimes in rural transit.
Thank you.
For some reason I had something in the back of my mind that there was some difficulty with meeting budgets and those type of things. I don't know if it's been a little bit or something. I thought I heard something about that. And that's why this is your grant money. This is for 1 year, and you have to apply every year. Is that kind of what it is? And if it doesn't come, then we're off the map again?
No, we renew. We've been doing it for a quarter of a century in Vermillion County, and it renews.
Steve-O. Thanks, Brenda. I just needed a brief review of the figures. The rider fee covers 2% of the cost?
Approximately.
So that means for $5 we're spending $250. Yeah. Is that correct? Does that sound right?
Into the mic if you could, please. Thank you.
Well, I don't have a calculator, but you're probably guessing right. It is an expensive venture to get off the ground, and over the years it does in turn create a very stable environment for folks that aren't stable, because once transportation is available to them, they become extremely self-sufficient, and that's the goal.
We might all agree, though, that $5 is 2% of $250. So if somebody's making a round trip from here to Rantoul, it's costing us $500 a day.
There's usually 10 people on there that split it.
Other questions? Patsy.
Just a clarification on this figure we see for the even and the odd years. That's just per year.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yes, and I would say that we will not draw down that much funding the first several years, because we need to match the dollars and the service has to build. We don't only have the equipment to provide. We have 4 vehicles out right now. And so over the years, as vehicles increase, we will continue to grow a stronger base, and we'll continue. You'll see us pull down more and more money. But it takes several years to you actually pulling down that much funding.
Michael?
Just wanted to clear something up for myself from your exchange you just had with Mr. O'Connor. Now, when you're saying it's 2% of the costs, you're saying that it's fares are 2% of your annual budget because of the high overhead of starting it up. You're not talking 2% of passenger mile costs. Am I hearing that correctly?
Passenger mile costs, I'm not sure what the definition is in that. Fares are rarely considered.
considered anything that sustains a project at, like this, but the goal is to teach people
so
to pay for
things. You're not saying that it's that the $5 is 2% of the cost of the actual trip. For instance, for the federal highway budget, user fees from gas taxes are 41 cents of the passenger mile on the dollar of the passenger mile cost. You're saying 2 out of 100, but you're not saying 2 out of 100. So you're not saying it's $250 per person to go back and forth per trip, right? It just that it's 2% of your budget.
That's correct, but I can see how you came to that number. I guess it's what angle you're looking at it from. Overall cost for the entire budget, I could see where you came to that $250 figure.
No, it's 2% is 2%, but I just wanted to make sure we're not losing $245 a trip.
No, sir. We're not.
Okay.
Is there anything else? Thank you for that clarification. Stephanie.
You did say that we are borrowing the buses or the transportation from Danville. Should this program then become successful, are there plans to potentially purchase a vehicle to provide the transportation and no longer use the used buses or transportation from Danville so that we are basically standalone?
Yeah, we have on order for vehicles, and we hope that it takes about 2 years to get those vehicles. It's typical that a neighboring county would provide this service. It's already established, and so some protocols are in place, and the protocol that we will be following is that we're borrowing mileage from Vermillion County vehicles, so that mileage will be returned to Vermillion County in the future. We track all that.
Thank you. And what is the cost of those buses?
For a brand new bus left over was $56,000. I don't know what the retail is. We don't ever touch that money. That money is deemed for the community and is maintained in Springfield.
All right, have we taken these buses for enough of a run?
Yes.
Are we ready to vote?
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion.
Oh. I'm sorry. That's a great point. Sorry.
I move an omnibus motion.
Thank you. Hold on. Tom's got it. Tom.
I move an omnibus motion of items 1 through 5.
My apologies. Is there a second by quiz? Any other discussion? Carol.
I thought when we started this that we would... Okay, so let me just clarify something right quick. I'm interested in item number 4. I don't think I'm totally clear on item number 4 and am not prepared to vote yes, although I support the rural transportation and want to see something expanded there. It's 4 and 5, so... I have some concerns about it that I don't believe time is going to allow me to address all of them right now, and I think it would be unfair to the county board. And so I would, if I vote no on the omnibus, it votes no on all of them and makes them all go back to the county board agenda. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. Parliamentarian procedure, Mr. Betts, I'd like to ask.
I'll just go ahead and suggest let's move 1 through 3 on the bus.
I want to do that.
Do you find that friendly, Tom?
Withdraw my motion.
He's withdrawing his motion.
And have the seconder withdraw.
Seconder withdraw. Quiz does.
Now
your motion.
Items 1 through 3.
1 through 3 on the bus. Quiz seconds. Discussion on those. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up is 4 and 5. It was all going to hit consent anyway. 4 and 5, is there a motion to move those together?
So moved.
By Stan, seconded by Geraldo. Any discussion on those? All in favor say Carol.
I just wanted to have those separated because I think for the purpose of the public and really understanding this money, we really, really should understand how the rural service works and the money that's attached to it. And so in that vein, I would be voting no for this, and I just wanted to make sure that the board members were clear on that.
Very good. Any other comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries, and none of those will go on consent, and they'll all go to full board. Thank you both very much for being here. Next up, item E, I'm going to suggest dangerously an omnibus again for 1 and 2 because they're quite related. Amendment 1100024 for $2,599 revenue neutral to provide the county board approved fiscal year 2011 non-bargaining employee wage increase to courts technology coordinator plus the courts automation fund. Amendment 1100023 for $154. Budget transfer described there. Is there a motion by John for omnibus on those two, seconded by Lorraine? Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Neither of those will appear on consent either. And next up is Deb.
The General Corporate Fund projection report is in your packet on pages 72 through 74. Our revenue continues to remain stable, and that's good news. We look like we will receive about 103% of our budgeted revenue, and almost 1.5% of that is the $400,000 non-budgeted lease payment we received this year. So in actuality, it's more like about 101% that will be over if these numbers hold true. But the sales taxes have continued to be positive, and that's really good to see after the last 2.5 years. The expenditure, similarly, looks like it's going to come in right at 100% of the budget. And typically, as we go through the year, it gets tighter, and I would imagine we will spend close to 100% of our expenditure budget this year. And the bottom line is, at the end of the fiscal year, it looks like we should... And I don't know what happened to that summary sheet, but the summary sheet shows that we should be at right about 11%, even with the outstanding nursing home loans. So that's good news.
Questions for Deb on the projections? Okay, change report.
The change report hasn't changed.
Harrison Harris,
the General Corporate Fund year-to-date has received almost $90,000 from the Harrison Harris collections, and overall, all agencies have received about $475,000 from the Harrison Harris collections.
Questions? Motion to accept those three and place on file by Al, seconded by Carol. Any questions on those? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next item is a request to you, the Finance Committee of the Whole, for a waiver of the hiring freeze. As you heard earlier this evening, Kat Bork has tendered her resignation and will be leaving administrative services on August 12th. 2 years ago, we had 3 administrative secretaries. Today, we have 2 and operating with only 1, especially at the point in time in the year in which we're going into finalizing the next year's budget. Would be extremely difficult. So I'm asking for the ability to follow the personnel policy and fill this position without adhering to the 3-month hiring freeze.
So moved. Is there by Stan, there's a motion seconded by Al. Discussion. Diane.
Is there a transition period that you have in mind from one going to the other? I mean, were you going to hire somebody in July maybe to transition in? Or
the personnel policy would allow to hire someone so that they would be on board for a 2-week transitional period. And if we're able to do that, if it's approved, we may try to do that.
Okay.
Patsy.
Is that transitional period the only additional cost to the county, or will there be some salary changes?
It's highly likely that we would not be hiring a new employee at the current salary of an employee who's been here for 7 years.
Other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Next item are the Champaign County financial policies. In the past 4 years, I think, you have always adopted the financial policies with the annual budget process resolution.
and it seems redundant to do that every year. So they're presenting to you now just like the personnel policy or the purchasing policy as a policy that you would adopt and that would stand on the record. We would post it on the website. There are no significant changes to these policies other than they have been grouped by categories. So the first several policies are the operating budget policies, followed by the revenue policies, and then debt management, accounting policies, and then some miscellaneous ones. I just ask for your approval.
Motion to approve.
So moved.
By Stan, seconded by Stephanie. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up, the budget.
The next item is just the announcement that the fiscal year 2011 budget was awarded the Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. We just received this in the last couple weeks. This is for information.
In talking with Deb, this is 4 years in a row? There are five, maybe. There are a handful of counties who we were the first of three. A few have figured it out, and there are a few others that are getting this award, but we've been steadily getting it for several years now, and that's a credit to Deb. And so this is very good news again. Next up is a distribution of public health levy.
Yeah, every year in March or April, we have to determine what the real split is of the public health levy that the county will collect, because the appropriate portion has to be distributed back to the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, and that has an impact on the Board of Health budget. So this just provides you with that overview and information of how it changes with the distribution from what was originally budgeted for the fiscal year.
Questions? And off of the addendum.
This is a request. As a salary administrator, I bring these to you. This is a request from the county clerk for a position title and job description change from a vacant secretary position. And when he fills that position, he would like to change the title to executive assistant and change the job description. There will be no change in the classification or the salary range, so it does not have any budgetary impact. The personnel policy requires that any adjustment to the schedule of authorized positions be approved by you, the county board, which is why I'm bringing this to you. The statutes give the county clerk complete discretion over the appointment of his personnel. He only has to adhere by statute to the budgetary constraints that the county board places on those positions. So this request is to approve the change of secretary to executive assistant, staying in the same salary classification with appropriate changes to be made to the job description by the county clerk.
Is there a motion for approval by John? Is there a second? By Aaron. Gordy is here tonight. I thought it was Marty. Are there any questions for him or for Deb? Ralph first.
Is there any change in the function of the office, or is this merely a cosmetic change?
There will be, or I intend there to be some change in the function of the positions, less secretarial type work and more outreach, election judge training, those types of things. And so I wanted the title and the job description to better reflect the sorts of activities that we intend to use the position for once it's filled.
Michael?
My question was just going to be for Gordy, since he was here, if he could talk through why he wanted this change, but he may have just done that. So do you have anything else to add about why he wanted to change that? Throw it out.
The previous job description, I don't think really was an accurate description for the way the position is being used, at least in recent years, to my knowledge. And it's not an accurate description for the sort of role that I'd like to see the position play in the future. So after discussions with Deb, we wanted to update the job description to make it more relevant, and a title change at that time seemed relevant. We've also, the position became vacant April 29th, and while there's no requirement for my office to follow the hiring freeze, we've followed the hiring freeze for this position and won't fill the position until it's been vacant for 90 days.
Stephanie?
Along with the job description change, will the salary change?
Salary, we're not asking for a salary classification range change.
Anything else? Thanks, Gordy.
Thank you.
All in favor, say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Settled then. Thank you very much. Next up, Treasurer Dan.
My monthly reports included in your packet of agenda. I'd like to give you a little update on real estate taxes. And we mailed the tax bills out on April 29th, and the first installment was due June the 1st. And as of today, we're at 51.65% collected, which is about, compared to last year, about 10 days ahead of last year, so we're doing well there. We're just about to make the second distribution of real estate money. We started working on it today. It's going to be about $105 million. And you might wonder, what's $105 million mean to the county? Well, the county levies are going to get about $10 million of that. The general corporate fund is going to get about $2.9 million from that. So, as you know, we did borrow for about $1 million from general corp back in April. So, obviously, put us in a position to make it to the end of the year and in good shape and still be able to pay back that $1 million in November. So, we're in really good shape. I'd sure be glad to answer any questions. If not, I'd ask that my report be accepted and placed on file, please.
Questions for Dan or a motion? First, Chris.
I wanted to say thank you for continuing to get the property tax bills out in timely fashion. It's something that a few counties seem to be able to do. And
you should thank the county clerk, the assessor, and the township assessor. If the treasurer has almost zero to do with that.
So modest.
I don't want to get beat up at the next tax cycle meeting.
Motion has been made by Harold and accepted, placed on file, seconded by Al. Any discussion? Any other questions for Dan? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Next is the auditor. We've got purchase not following purchasing policy for information. Are there any questions? Diane? Tony, if you'd like, please.
Just down at the bottom here, through Head Start, AT&T had a huge credit in June, and then we had a bill for June through November. I don't understand what the bookkeeping part of that is.
Do you think about that, Ted?
Sorry about that. Pretty unusual that we would prepay $1,000 on a phone bill.
Yeah. You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I can look into it and get back to you before the board meeting.
That'd be great, because then the next item under that means that we haven't paid the bill since June of 08 to November of 10, the way you have it noted here.
You know, that looks more like one big bill for a bunch of service, and given the subtraction and addition, I'm guessing there was some wrangling over the phone bill. That's
three
just a guess,
years?
Though. But
for 3 years, you think?
Possibly, yeah, but let me check into it and give a definite answer before the meeting.
All right, thanks.
Anything else? And then monthly report, anything to report there, Tony, that wasn't in the packet?
That's just for placing on file.
Any motion to do so, please? By Carol, is there a second? Anybody?
Second.
Jan? Any questions for Tony? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other business for finance? There is no chair's report. The items for consent are A1 through 4, B1, C1, F4, and F8. Thank you very much.
Policy is next, but I've asked Mr. Quisenberry to take policy because I was out for that particular meeting.
All right, good evening. Okay, first thing on policy is our vacant position listing. Any comments or questions on that?
Ms. Busey, in relationship to the administrative position and the secretary's position that we just talked about, will those two appear in open? How does the list actually change?
This list is a listing of the positions that were vacant as of June 14th. The secretary position in the county clerk's office is vacant. The administrative assistant position in administrative services will likely never be listed as vacant if we fill it by the time Ms. Bork leaves in August.
But the other one will...
The other one, Mr. Halton intends to hold vacant for the 90-day hiring freeze waiver period, hiring freeze period.
Okay, thank you.
Item number two under section E is an ordinance of County Champaign, Illinois, Champaign County, Illinois is ascertaining the prevailing rate of wages for laborers, mechanics, and other workers employed in public works of said county.
Move adoption.
Second.
Mr. Betts moved. Mr. Kurtz seconded. Any discussion or questions? Ms. Busey, would you like to...
Well, for those board members who are new, this is something that you do every June. It's required. The state posts the prevailing wage rates for Champaign County in the 1st of June, and you adopt the ordinance setting those rates at your June board meeting.
All right. Any questions? Ms. Petrie?
An information question. How does the state get this data? What do they use to do this?
That's a good question for the state. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, any further questions?
I can somewhat answer that.
Mr. Betts.
It's usually based on the highest paid union laborers in those fields. That tends to be the way it's done.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign?
Aye.
Motion passed. Okay, item number three, recommendation of award for contract of mail services as a result of the RFP 2011-006. And Ms. Busey, could you give us a little background on that?
Sure. As you will recall, last month you approved the release of this RFP for mail services for the entire county. This is a daily mail processing of all county mail. And there was only one response. It was from the current provider, but the good news is the rate is dropping from 0.05 per piece to 0.04 per piece, and I would ask your approval of the award of this contract.
Moved by Mr. Jay, seconded by Ms. Soderfield. Any discussion or questions? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion to pass. Okay, we have, in Section B, we have reports from the county clerk, monthly fees report, and the semiannual fees report. Any questions? Moved by Mr. McGinty, second by Mr. Rosales. Any discussion or questions for the clerk? Mr. Alex.
We're still here.
We could probably find him in his office, but all right. All those in favor for putting on file, say aye.
Aye.
Can you pose same sign? Motion passes. Okay, under section C, recommendation for work contract for prime food vendor. Ms. Busey.
Mr. Boffenbarger is here from the nursing home and can probably explain this.
Hello, this is a RFP for all of the food purchases that we make for residents of the nursing home, as well as some related items, some minor cooking equipment, aluminum foil, saran wrap, and some of the basics that keep our kitchen going. The last contract was in 2007, and so we're anticipating that contract to expire in October of this year, so this RFP is in anticipation of that. We had two responses. respondents. One was a qualified bidder, and it's actually our current provider, and the rates that they came in with were very good. They were very competitive, and we know that because it's better than what we're getting now. And the second respondent submitted a bid sheet, a spreadsheet showing the cost of their food items, and we were able to compare the two, and they were very close. So we're comfortable that the highest bidder and only bidder, Wa Foods, or the lowest bidder and the only bidder, Wa Foods, is a responsible bidder, and we'd like to contract with them.
All right. Ms. Richards.
Andrew, is this just for the delivery of food, or are they also doing the cooking for us at home?
Just delivery of the food.
Ms. Petrie.
You did a nice job of advertising this for a long period of time, so only getting two responses, just because there are not that many agencies out there that do this kind of work?
That's exactly right. This is a commercial distribution. There are not very many people that do this.
I think we need a motion.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Bensel, second by Mr. James. Any further questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Thanks.
And you'll find on your table an additional item, because I think this will go under other business. We have a proclamation designating the month of July 2011 as Respect and Celebrate Civil Unions Month. I would ask Ms. Ammons, would you like to speak to this?
Yes, I can read the resolution. The city of Champaign and Urbana had already passed their resolutions for civil unions that was passed at the state level last month. And so this was submitted for us to pass our civil unions celebration in support of this. And I'll read the resolution for the committee. It says, whereas a significant number of adult population of the county of Champaign are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, and whereas lesbians, gay men, bisexual persons, and transgendered people make numerous contributions to the artistic, commercial, educational, political, religious, and social life of Champaign County, and whereas under the Illinois Religious Protections and Civil Union Act, same-sex couples have been obtaining civil union licenses for the first time in history from the Champaign County Clerk and have begun using these licenses for civil union ceremonies, and whereas these civil unions are the legal equivalent of marriages under Illinois law with all the same state rights and responsibilities, and whereas Champaign County Clerk Gordy Holton, his staff, the Up Center of Champaign County, the NBF&M Law Firm, and others celebrated the first 13 same-sex couples to receive such licenses with a joyous party in the Lyle Shields meeting room on the morning of June 1st, 2011. And whereas providing state legal recognition to the relationships of same-sex couples who are raising children together is in the best interest of their children. And whereas on July 4th, we will celebrate the foundation of that nation which provides the liberty and justice for all, which made possible these historic events. Now, therefore, it is proclaimed by the Champaign County Board that the month of July 2011 is designated as Respect and Celebrate Civil Unions Month in the County of Champaign, Illinois. And I so move.
All right, we have a motion by Ms. Ammons and second by Ms. Anderson. Discussion. No discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion passes.
That would be all from you can designate.
I believe that's all for policy. I have that the items on consent would be the mail contract, RFP and the nursing home contract RFP. And everything else will go to the full board. Thank you.
Quiz. That's quiz. I'm James.
Family. That's the new stand.
Put the pen out, and that's how it's
done. Negative. Good evening. County Facilities has quite a bit of business tonight that is at least for discussion. So I'm going to try to make sure that everyone gets an opportunity to speak, but that we try not to be too repetitive. First, I'd like to hear from the Facilities Director regarding the three items he has on the agenda.
On pages 122 through 125 are our monthly reports for your information. Everything looks reasonable with the exception on page 122. You'll notice that the courthouse repair and maintenance line item is almost 100% spent. Now that is because we've had approximately $20,000 worth of expenses unanticipated for the replacement of some variable frequency drives pertaining to the cooling system, which we found this spring. We will adjust the rest of our line items appropriately to try to make it through the rest of the year, but that was why that number is so poor.
I entertain a motion to receive and place on file.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Rosales, seconded by Ms. Michaels. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same.
Wait a minute, Tom. Patsy, I don't remember.
Patsy?
Were those drives not warranted or anything like that, or were they warranted and that was just a partial cost to the county?
They were no longer warranted. Standard equipment when the building was built was 1 year warranty on those, and so we've been way past that period.
Okay, so the county doesn't tend to buy ever any extended warranties, or?
We do buy extended warranties from time to time, but even then, extended warranties are for 3 to 5 years and not for a 10-year period.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The Brookings Energy Lighting Retrofit.
We did receive official notification from the state of Illinois that they are Year 3 EEP program, the energy efficiency program for our lighting. If you remember, we were approved two, one from the for the energy efficiency program, and then another community block grant administered through the Regional Planning Commission. So this is the first grant. We did receive official notification. We have not received a dime yet, but we expect to have some dollars coming in here pretty soon. We are still working on the following community block grant administered through RPC as we are finalizing all our lighting upgrades for this building, working in Pod 400 now.
Okay. Any questions? Oh, my favorite, the Finium update.
There has been virtually no movement in the last 30 days from any of our vendors, the roofing company or the Finial manufacturer itself. So as of on 6/10 of this month, of course on the 10th of this month, I received a copy of email notice from our insurance representative that they have sent off letters of subrogation to the Advanced Roofing Company and Coppercraft manufacturer, and I am now currently and actively looking for another copper Finial manufacturer to see if we can have another one built for its replacement.
If we have one built for its replacement, how is that going to affect the payment with regard to?
Well, I don't know at this point in time. I'm just trying to get a good solid footing now with our insurance representative. typically on any other project, as it was over a year ago. If you remember the truck that burned up in the highway building, we lost a truck, and we spent months cleaning and repainting, and all billings and reimbursements at that time went directly to the insurance company. It did not cost us anything other than our deductible, if I remember correctly. So I'm assuming that this will be what we are going to attempt to do again.
Questions from members of the board? Mr. Jay.
What would our deductible be on this? Do you know?
$5,000.
With an estimated cost to repair this?
Well, the original estimated cost based on the original construction price was approximately $20,000.
Okay. Other questions from members? At some point, is there the potential for us to get our deductible back if we do what you're suggesting?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Mr. Langenheim.
I would just like to go on record as saying that it really is incumbent upon us to repair that and put that place back. Part of the soul of the county, so to speak.
We still don't know exactly what caused it.
There are absolutely no signs of lightning damage to the finial itself, so it, we know it broke in half. We assume it was caused by wind shear, but the exact cause of why it broke where it did has not yet been officially determined at this time.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
So if I follow this conversation correctly, the people that we bought that from are not going to be able to replace it, and therefore you have to find somebody else to replace it, and then we pay the insurance deductible? There wasn't a guarantee after a certain length of time?
Well, yes, you are correct. It was this... A roofing manufacturer, a roofing installer, Advanced Roofing and Sheet Metal, installed the finial. They purchased it from a distributor who had it manufactured by another company. The roofing company has been really actively trying to work with us, trying to get them to repair it. But when they're not getting anywhere, and we're not getting anywhere. So we think right now it's our best interest to start looking at our insurance company so we don't sit around and wait the entire summer to get this back up on the roof.
No further questions? Okay, if you can update us on the Art Bartel construction project.
Well, I'm happy to say that today we finished moving in all of the county clerk. Of course, last month I told you that the coroner was already in his space. We have also moved the physical plant, so far just the break room and the personnel. So we are occupying the building. All systems are up and running. There are very, very minor items to be completed on the punch list, and sometimes this takes a while, but it's still moving on a day-to-day basis. Although there's going to be a lot of work yet for the physical plant, we still have to, we've got a month or so or more of moving and sorting all the stuff that's left in the Gill building and carrying it into the new building. The clerk stuff is in its spot, but I'm sure they have months of sorting and reorganizing and trying to get things where it's in usable shape. We will have information for you for the final change order with our deduct for stormwater management. The official documentation, it looks like the project is going to be completed at approximately $8,000 below budget.
Questions? Monthly project budget report.
Deb, would you?
The monthly budget report for the project is in your packet, and clearly we're moving forward on budget, and after we enter this last change order, it will actually be adjusted down by $8,000, as Alan just indicated.
I had a member of the board ask me about the situation with the drainage, the Burns Clancy, where we stand on where that's going at this point.
Burns Clancy has, I believe, finished all of the field survey updates they needed to do. They have spent several hours in my office going over our documents from the construction of the Highway Fleet Maintenance Building, the model projects at Ilias, and of course our new construction for True to update their final draft. So they have everything together. They're now trying to compile this information, and hopefully they will be ready to the 1st of August to be make a presentation of what their recommendations or your options are for this project.
Any questions? Thank you. Amendment to the outgoing loan agreement with Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. I'd entertain a motion. Moved by Mr. Nuda, second by Ms. Anderson. Any discussion? Yes, Mr. Richards.
Is this just extending the loan until August 1st?
That's it.
Is there going to be any increase in the cost of our insurance on that with the extension?
I didn't think so.
I don't think so.
I do not believe so, no.
No.
Okay.
Mr. Nuda.
Our old friend Barb Wysocki, I went to that meeting, and the reason why it was extended is because Lincoln, of all places, Illinois, canceled on the movement of the project over to their courthouse, and we voted to extend it to ours, and there's no change in the insurance.
Any other questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Okay. Item D, there's a series of reports that you have. I think everyone either have received them by email or paper copy at this point. This is an issue that we've intimated was coming months and months ago. It's I would say we're at the semi-beginning stages now of trying to address some of the problems that we have with regard to our jail facilities. Item one was the National Institute of Corrections report on downtown correction facility. Our facilities director has a white paper. The sheriff has a report as well. I will take them in any order that folks at the sheriff would like to address. I would like that presentation first, if it's agreeable with the committee. The sheriff's been sitting here quite a while.
We've got a couple people here. I think the first thing I'd like to do is, since this is Lieutenant Cravens, he's the administrative lieutenant of the jail. First off, Superintendent Moore could not be here. He sends his regrets. Unfortunately, his mom passed away out of state, so he cannot be here tonight. I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff. Let me defer that. I'll let the lieutenant, if it's okay with him, and once he gets ready, go through what is a 7-minute presentation, because I'm going to talk about, and many of you know, there's a huge difference between the satellite jail and the downtown jail. And for those of you that haven't seen it, hopefully this will show it. Then we also have Nancy Griffin, but I'll come back up in between, and when we're all done, we'll try to answer whatever questions you guys have. Lieutenant?
Okay, this should give you just an overview of both facilities, the housing areas, and the condition of both. The master control area where the cameras and the control buttons that control all of our door systems. It's the APOD officer station. That's where the officers sit and conduct most of their work. That's the view of the housing areas from the officer. As you see, they have a wide view of pretty much everything that's happening in their area. Outdoor recreation, they can play basketball, walk, just get some fresh air out there. It'd be a typical housing unit at the jail. Really, the only different ones we would have would be handicap cells. Booking area, which is also houses a lot of our medical and mental health people, takes up the majority of our space up there. Mental health and medical individuals are housed throughout both jails, not consolidated in any one area, which makes it difficult to manage. Master control area there. Last update was about 10 years ago to it. East side, you'll see a big difference compared to the satellite jail. That's the officer has housing areas on both sides of that wall that they have to observe, plus two housing areas here where mental health and medical individuals might be housed. That's pretty much the general view they have inside of the cell block. A lot different from the satellite. You see, they can see maybe 50%, and when it's filled with inmates, you know, you're obstructed even more. It's pretty much the door at night when they do their cell checks. That's the typical window they have to look into to check on the inmates at night. That's a lot different from the satellite also. That's about the most natural light they get from the outside while they're in their rooms. That's the conditions of the ventilation. In the up top, you'll see that's the day room where they stay during the day. That's the most sunlight they get. This area here separates the main part of the jail from the dorm. They're completely isolated from the rest of the jail. It makes that very difficult to manage. Old booking, which also houses some of our individuals with medical and mental health needs. At the downtown jail, you need another officer to help maintain the recreation where the satellite, that officer can watch the inmates that are in the housing areas, plus watch the inmates that are in visit recreation, which helps out on manpower. These are videos, basically, when one of our officers would have to conduct a cell check. This is pretty much the routine they have to go through at the downtown jail. As you can see, while they're checking on one area, they have no idea what's going on in the other. Viewing areas are very small. These two blocks right here are now special management housing areas. Some of them are medical or mental health individuals. In this cell, as in with a lot of them, there are a lot of spaces that you cannot see. Typically, you'll have to open up the door to get a good view of what's going on in the room if the inmate's not in plain sight. these areas here require a lot of maintenance. We have an individual down at that facility that has to work on the locks, doors, lights constantly. Like I said, if he's at this window, he's got five other windows that he has no idea what's going on. And even when he steps back into the open space, his view is even smaller at that point. With the glass and the cinder block, it can be difficult to hear what's going on in the areas also. This is a satellite jail. This officer is at the satellite desk, and from that position he can see almost everything in the cell block. There's the outdoor recreation area that he can monitor without the requirement of additional staff. That's it.
The officer you just saw walking through there, we are required under Illinois jail standards to do cell checks at least every half hour. Many of our prisoners, because of special needs, it's every 15 minutes. I'm going to talk about some of the stuff. We have given you the NIC report. We asked them to come in. Alan has done an excellent job of outlining some of the issues with the building. I'm assuming you're going to read the report I've given you. NIC, there's a lot of stuff in there I don't frankly agree with. I don't think it's right. I think some of the stuff perhaps got unloaded, let's say, from somebody else's report, because they even refer to, for example, county commissioners. We don't have commissioners. But most of it really doesn't matter. I'll give you one other example. They talk about policies, and they talk about ACA accreditation. Well, we have policies. We are working on ACA accreditation. I mean, these are good things. I'm not going to take issue with little stuff. However, they do talk about programs at the downtown jail, and I have asked Nancy Griffin to come and just spend a couple minutes and talk to you about that, because again, some of the stuff is in there, whatever's in there really has nothing to do with the facility and what I think we ought to do, but I just want to let you know, because I'm sure many of you are interested in some of the issues raised by the NIC report. So Nancy, if you want to explain who you are, what you do, and talk to them just briefly about the programs.
Hi, I'm Nancy Griffin, and I'm the program coordinator of the satellite in downtown jail. As the sheriff mentioned, there were some what seems to be inaccuracies about the programs provided for the women at the downtown jail. We do have programs. I'd like to say that program development is a continual process. There are programs that come in, and then for whatever reason, they leave. We have U of I students, we have Parkland students, we have people from the community that come in and provide programs. Some of our mainstay programs are Alcoholics Anonymous. It's obviously important. Many people have drug or alcohol problems. Narcotics Anonymous. These are programs that are provided on a weekly basis. Not only does the Alcoholics Anonymous program at the jails provide the actual volunteers and provide the actual meetings, step meetings or individual meetings, but they actually provide the AA big books and the 12 steps and 12 traditions. So the literature is also available to the inmate population, male and female. Narcotics Anonymous is another active group in both jails, satellite and downtown. They do donate any big books. Those tend to be a little more limited because they don't have pocket editions like the AA program has. We have GED at the satellite jail. We do not have that downtown at the women's jail or where the women are housed. We are working with Parkland College Project Reed so that we can have more individualized educational programs for the women that don't require the kind of numbers that an actual classroom requires. GED, having a satellite classroom requires funding. Funding requires an adequate amount of students to have that so that we're able to have GED. So we are working on different types of educational programs for the women. Churches is in another important aspect for the inmate population. We have church groups. We have Bible study. Jesus is Away is our primary provider for church and Bible study. They provide the church and Bible study for the women at the downtown jail. And another longtime provider of church is Barb Gillespie. She has been there at the jail for many years, bringing in a church program for the women as well. Programs are important. It provides the inmate population with the opportunity for continuity in when they do get out of jail, as we know most of our offenders are going to go back to the community. So for us the goal is that when they get out of jail, they are able to continue with an educational program, support groups, spiritual counseling, so that they're able to avoid returning to jail. Because that's the important goal, is that they don't come back. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. Do you offer any ESL programs for non-English speaking inmates?
We do have interpreter programs. We've got interpreters. We've actually had some officers that are bilingual and help us with needs of the inmate population.
But I would imagine that a lot of these inmates would not be able to take advantage of many of these programs that you have indicated, because a lot of them don't know the language. So you're saying that there's an officer that would sit there an hour or two and teach them GED classes in English or Spanish?
Actually, we have a lot of Spanish-speaking inmates that do attend GED, and they are the ones that do request the reading, tutoring, and reading and writing, and that's actually supplemented by our GED teacher. We use the resources that we have. If we have bilingual inmates in the jail, we ask them to help us with people that need assistance for translation. So actually, do we miss some people for programs? I would say that's always a possibility. If we find a need, I go to find what I can do to fill that need.
Dan, you said there were a number of inaccuracies in the report. Did you inform them about these inaccuracies and add these programs to it so that the perception isn't that we had none of these programs on in the jail?
I did not, Al. We got the report, and they did not send it to us saying, what do you think of this? Are there any corrections? They simply said, here's your report. Thank you very much. Again, a lot of these things... Yeah, I take personal offense, like when you say we have no programs, or it implies we don't care. That's not true. But my personal offense doesn't really matter. What I think is important here is we've got to look at the facility, because
it is creating problems.
Well, I understand from a personal point of view, but this is a public report, and it's going to be in the newspapers, it's going to be discussed in the county. I think we need to make sure that corrections, that there's no misinterpretation of this report, and that corrections should be made, especially when it's really in your favor, and in the perception of what the sheriff's department is doing with these inmates. So I would think that corrections should be certainly advertised to the public.
Well, perhaps the way to do it, that's why I asked Nancy to come in here, because she can address it very personally. She does this stuff. Maybe what we'll do, Al, is send them a letter and copy you guys and the news media dealing with some of the things. Well, I guess I'll get into it in just a bit. But
Stephanie? Yeah, and actually, I have requested to be able to address the auditors that came to the jail, because I think there are some inaccuracies, and I was one of the people interviewed and specified the programs that we have, what's available, and, you know, the program development is always in the horizon for us as well.
Can just for clarification purposes, that would be on page 7, the observation and recommendation, so that you are referencing line item C specifically.
I'm sorry, what?
You're specifically addressing 1C in the observations and recommendations, which I believe is supposed to be page 7.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, I've got that marked, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Other questions for her? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Nancy, thank you. Okay, I guess now let's get down to it. First off, why am I here now? I'm here now for basically two simple reasons. Number one, Ms. Busey's told me that at this point you folks are interested in talking about the downtown jail, the facility itself, and more importantly, Ms. Busey informs me that in the foreseeable horizon for a change, there may be some money available for bond issues so that we can do something about it. There's nothing in these reports I don't think that we haven't talked about before. I believe it was about a year ago when we had to make some major repairs at the jail, and I think what I used as an example then is basically we're fixing a flat tire on an old car when we took care of the cooler. That's why we're here today. I'm assuming all you folks are going to take a look at the various reports we've given you. I want to just talk in very general. I'm not going to go through it all because I know you all can read. Let me hit a couple of high points. First off, downtown. What was it designed to do? It was designed to hold 134 prisoners. The satellite, it was designed to hold 147 prisoners. Years ago, for those of you that have been on the board a long time, we had a huge spike in our prisoner numbers. And Al and his folks came in and welded in another 30 beds because we were literally normally bedding over 300 prisoners. What have we done since then? And again, this goes to that report to some extent, Al. If you remember, I guess Roger's left, we had a lot of meetings with the judges, the state's attorney who's here tonight, the public defender, Ms. Fusey was part of it. Basically, we called it jail overcrowding. And for years, we worked on that. They mentioned in the report, for example, use OR or ROR, release on own recognizance. We do that. I can't criticize these judges. They really work at moving cases. Did they do that when I first took office, 2002? The answer is no. They didn't care. But when our numbers got way up, Presiding Judge Stefanis got real involved in this stuff. So we're doing a lot of that stuff that other counties aren't doing. I could talk for hours. I'm going to try not to. First off, when I talk about bedded prisoners, what I mean, so we're on the same page, is a prisoner who has already been to arraignment court, his or her bond has been set by a judge, and they can't bond out, or they won't bond out. For those of you that aren't familiar, when an officer makes an arrest in this county, they 99 out of 100 times will come to the Champaign County Jail. They'll go in that little room where you saw the officer sitting at the desk and the prisoner sitting opposite them. They'll do a quick medical intake. They'll do a search of the person for contraband and weapons. Then they'll go into that booking area that you saw. That's those two long hallways. We will book them in. We will fingerprint them. We'll take their mug photos, all this kind of stuff. We'll give them great opportunities to try to come up with bond if it's a bondable case. Misdemeanors in general, it's $100. Felonies in general, you can't bond out. The court has to see you and set the bond. So when I talk about better prisoners, I'm not referring to the new intakes. Now, as of this morning, we take head counts periodically, but I always use the 6 to 7 a.m. head count as the official one. As of this morning, we had 18 prisoners in the booking. That means 18 brand new prisoners. We had a total of 239 bedded down prisoners. In other words, they've been switched out into our clothing, and they're going to stay with us for a while. That's both facilities. There were about 50 inmates downtown, and of those 50, 23 were female. Today, this morning, again at 7 o'clock or so, we had 18 inmates on electronic home detention. Now, I'm assuming some of you folks have read about that or heard me talk about it. When we got our numbers way up in the 300s, we tried to find ways to reduce it. The statute allows the sheriff to put people on electronic home detention, and so we started using that. What it is nowadays is a real-time GPS monitor. The officers pre-screen them. It's nonviolent, normally traffic offenders, and the road deputies have become probation officers. They'll literally, we check them virtually every week, if not more often, and the road deputy will actually go to the house of somebody who's on electronic home detention unannounced, knock on the door, hey, I'm here to see you, and today we're going to search your whole house. Today we're going to search your kitchen. I want to see if you got guns, drugs, or alcohol. Things like that, so we try to monitor. We've had, and we've run, as many as 50 prisoners on this electronic home detention. Unfortunately, the law is changing, and perhaps Ms. Reitz may want to talk about her ideas on this. But there's an appellate case now, Illinois appellate case, saying the sheriff cannot use this electronic home detention for mandatory minimum sentences. I mentioned it in my report to you folks. A lot of our offenders are here in traffic. More and more reasons the state and the Secretary of State finds, and the legislature agrees, why we're going to suspend people's driver's license. They have to get to work. They have to get to whatever. They drive while suspended. They're in our jail. So we've gone now from 50 people on electronic home detention, give or take, and now we're down normally in the lower 20s. Today it just happened to be 18. So why am I even talking about this? Because if this case law holds, this is the type of thing that keeps growing. People keep driving while suspended. The sentences get longer and longer to jail, so we're going to have more and more inmates. The other thing that I've talked to you folks about, and I've talked about in public, is the medical and mental health issues. Our inmates are sicker, both medically and in terms of mental health, than they ever have been. They're much worse. Why does that matter? It matters, number one, because we have an obligation to provide them with their medical care. We do provide them with their mental health care. And the other thing is simply housing. Where are we going to put these people? We drafted this report, I think it was June 7th, it's in there. And on that day, we had 24 inmates that had to have specialized individual housing. If I remember right, it's in there. Seven of them were in green gowns. That means we had them in a Velcro suit. We've taken away all their clothing, all their property, because for whatever they said to us or whatever we knew about them, we were concerned that they could be actively suicidal. They had to be kept separate. We had another, I think it's another seven, that had severe medical problems, including a couple, and we still got them today, that have to have oxygen generators. Well, I can't have electrical outlets in a normal cell block, because what's an inmate to do? They have nothing to do but play around. They're going to stick something in that electrical outlet, so I can't have that. So I have to house those people separate. Most of them are on 15-minute checks. And the other big area that came up for this 24 is just simply inmates with severe mental health problems that cannot be housed with others. The example I typically give is the guy who gets in the cell, gets his food, throws it all around. Frankly, there are guys that throw a lot worse things than food, and they just can't be housed with other people, and I think we've talked about that before. The other thing that I don't know that the public realizes, but I think most of you guys do, just because, let's keep the numbers simple, I have 100 beds, and let's say I have, and let's say all my prisoners are male, we don't even have the second separation issue, but I have 100 beds, and I have 90 prisoners. Well, sure, if you must have space, you've got 10 extra. You know, I don't know, maybe I do, maybe I don't. If, let's say they're all healthy, they're all mentally fit. The other issues in terms of what we have to deal with is separation is, can these healthy people be housed together? For example, the four of you gentlemen are co-defendants in a homicide case. We don't want to put you together because you may get your stories straightened up that way. Or worse, the four of you are co-defendants in a homicide case. They killed some relative of you two, and you just happen to be in my jail. Can I put any of you guys together? The answer is no. Does that happen? Yes, that happens very regularly. So we have all these separation problems, plus the mental health, plus the medical. We just don't have the space. I said it in there. We basically could run a hospital, but that's not what I'm asking for. We don't have the money for that. Where do I think we're at now? I think we're at a point now that there perhaps is going to be some money available in a few years, and this is a long process. You don't go out and build a jail tomorrow, even if you guys said, here's the open checkbook, man, build whatever you want. It takes time to plan. When you think about this, most sheriffs never build a jail. And the ones that do perhaps build one jail or have one significant addition, this is the kind of thing we've got to study on. We've got to bring in some, I hate to use the word, experts or consultants, people who have done this before, because we sure don't want to mess it up. It's too expensive to do it wrong. So I think what you guys need to do is look at this, think about it, talk about it, and then, quite frankly, give me some direction. I mean, if the consensus of this group is deal with the sheriff, there's no money, we're not going to do anything, okay, that's, you know, you guys run the checkbook, I don't. On the other hand, if you say, hey, yes, we think there's something we need to look at, right now, myself, Ms. Busey, Mr. Betts and our jail superintendent are scheduled to go to a week-long school put on by the National Institute of Corrections on how to build jails and how to design this stuff in August. So, you know, if we're going to pursue this, we're going to go to this school and learn. On the other hand, if you don't do this, I got stuff better to do with my week. And I don't mean that bad. I'm not an expert in building. This could fall more into Alan's bailiwick than mine or into Denny Inman's when he was here. I think if you guys say, yeah, we are serious, we want to look at what our options are, I think there's two things we need to consider. Again, I hate to use the word expert or consultants. There are experts and consultants that will give us projections about future jail needs in terms of population. Now, quite frankly, I think they'll give you 5 and 10 year projections. The 10 year projections, my personal opinion, we might as well flip a coin. I have no idea what the legislature is going to do, how many more things they will criminalize between now and 10 years from now. So that's one issue. But the second issue, and you know, you think about it when you're out of your home, do we remodel the downtown jail? I'm not an engineer. My personal opinion is I don't think you can do it. I think you basically would have to tear it down, and then we have to figure out when we rebuild it or remodel it, what do I do with today the 50 inmates that are in there? I have to put them someplace. This is not like remodeling the three rooms at the back of your house. This stuff downstairs is all concrete and steel. It's not like we can knock down drywall and move 2x4 stud walls. So it's a major project. So what I need from you folks is some guidance. And quite frankly, and Alan, you can address the engineering cost. If you say, yeah, let's pursue it, I think just to look at it is going to cost money. Like to get these experts to give us projections about inmate populations in the future, I believe it's around $20,000. And again, they can give us the best projection. I don't know what the future is going to hold. And the other thing I'm talking about, Alan, this sort of goes back to the NIC in their report, which in some ways I think slams us unfairly. We are inspected by the Illinois Department of Corrections because we are under Illinois jail standards. Our last two inspections, I actually the 50-some pages, I guess Deb and I had some miscommunications. The bottom line is the last 2 years, we have no non-compliance. In other words, we are totally compliant except the dorm area of the downtown jail. It doesn't meet the right airflow standards, and that it's an exception because it was built before 1988. Some of you may look at that and say, well, why are those vents covered? Well, or why are those windows covered? It's real easy. When that place was designed, the vents are low enough, I as an inmate with nothing to do all day long can reach that vent and start sticking stuff in it or poking it or pulling it or tearing it apart to use it as a weapon. It was just, I have no idea who designed it. I just think it could have been better designed. But those are some of the issues. The other one I want to just mention, because I think it's kind of funny, and I hope I don't upset anybody. I took this picture months ago. These are some of our regular pets. And this is upstairs. I mean, this is my office. This is the bathroom myself and the girls use. This is so common. I showed it to one of our union stewards. I said, if I tell the board this does not upset you because it's so common, would that be true? And her answer was yes. We're used to this. It's an old building. We had a young lady who graduated from high school just a few weeks ago in our office today. She was doing some volunteer work. Guess what ran across the carpet right in front of her, 20 feet from my office door? One of our little friends. Now, she freaked out, screamed, and said, I'm done, I'm out of here. And my secretary, Teresa, went up and snapped on it, threw it away, and didn't even think about it. The other thing, and just while I'm on this, because I again think this is humorous and you might find it of interest, this past summer, we actually had a birth in the jail. Now, you may say, Sheriff, that's not uncommon. You know, prisoners get pregnant, that kind of stuff happens. Well, in this case, it was a, I don't know what you call it, a litter of baby gardener snakes, because we found baby snakes upstairs and downstairs. I mean, that's just the nature of this old building. There's apparently a lot of holes and sewer entrances and things like that. So I guess what I'm saying, folks, take a look at this stuff. You guys need to talk about it, and then if you want us to pursue it, we are going to spend some money, and I guess we'll have to get that somewhere to look at some of the engineering stuff. And other than answering your questions, that's where we're at.
I've been around long enough that I remember when that building was built. I wasn't on this board, but I went to a lot of board meetings for an organization that monitored things. And as I recall, the old jail was condemned more or less by the state. And they had a lot of discussion about the size of that lot, that building's on, and it was jammed in there to where you can't do anything else with it. And the thing was over capacity the day it opened.
That's exactly right.
And I remember sitting in here and discussing boarding a prisoner like we discuss agency nursing with a nursing home now, and Coles County and Douglas County and DeWitt County and to a lesser extent Ford pretty much built a jail on what we spent an out-of-county boarding. And we had deputies on the road to Charleston and Tuscola and Paxton and Clinton bringing these guys home to go to court and taking them back.
That is quite true.
And the struggle they had with that building was just like the struggle we had with that courthouse before we got the quarter cent passed. There was no money to build it. Every corner was cut to get it done. There wasn't, I don't remember, 2 years after it was built, we started double bunking people in there and steel beds because we didn't want to take them somewhere else. And I made a lot of trips to Paxton and to Tuscola to talk to Sheriff about how many can you take, when can you take them, and how many can we leave here, and how many are we going to have in transit. And that building had every corner cut in it you could cut to get it built. And now you're looking at it 35 years later, and it's just like that old Champaign County Bank building. They ran out of money, so you cut corners, and 20 years later it comes back to haunt you.
Yeah. And
I don't know if you're ever in danger of going out of county with any of these people. It's just a horrible process to tie up deputies and vehicles and money that we could have kept here before we got this one built.
We do board out of county occasionally, and now the reason we do it is separation issues. I literally run out of space where I can keep the four of you and you two separate, or I've got some with special medical needs where, again, I ran out of space. And I will say the other time I had boarded out, just so I'm completely upfront with everybody, we'll pick on Lieutenant Cravens. Lieutenant Cravens' brother gets arrested and sentenced to jail. We will not keep that close of a relative in our jail just because of the problems. Or recently there's a former law enforcement officer that was sentenced to jail, and we're not going to keep them in our jail because there's too much potential for something very bad to happen, so we pay and we house them out of county. But it's an individual thing. And you know the other thing I didn't really say, and let me, Ralph, I will get there just a second. We've got copies of the video for you to look at. I encourage you, call me. We'll take you downtown. Myself and Lieutenant will take you out to the satellite, and you can see what we're talking about. We use two or three times the manpower per 100 inmates, or however you want to call it, downtown, and we still don't have as good a supervision as we do at the satellite, and it goes to the design, and as you said, the fact that corners apparently were cut.
Ralph?
I also was around here when that building was built and was taken through it, but it was new. The Civic was taken in there. And I remember the great pride with which it was displayed and how it was the latest thing and how it was going to satisfy our needs for the next 50 years and all that. The building is only 30 years old. Corners were cut, but it is a solid building. There are lots of things wrong with it, but not everything has to be corrected immediately in order to make some use of it. It seems to me to be poor planning to throw away a building that's 30 years old and live for another. That building is there. Converting it to an up-to-date jail is probably not feasible to make a very... Additional capacity is constructed. It probably should be constructed out here. All of your prisoners should be in.
Yes, that would be. We duplicate a lot of efforts because of the two facilities.
The building down there can then be converted to other use. The county has needs. Office functions can be kept down there, so on and so forth. I would like to see, along with this very eloquent condemnation of the building, an equally eloquent plan for salvaging the building.
You're an engineer, so you'll understand this better than I do. You're an engineer, so you'll understand this better than me.
Well, I'm not that kind of an engineer, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't know what it would take to rehab. Yeah, we know what it would take to keep the building operational, but I don't know what it would take in terms of to make it functional for some other use. Now, the good thing, if this was a strong economy, apparently it's getting a little stronger, that piece of real estate, it's got a great traffic count, it's got a great location, so there's certainly a lot of value there. But, you know,
one of the things that they did, I was told, was
the
foundation for plans so that...
Can you speak into the microphone?
The original foundation was planned so that the jail could expand into the sky. And then they got cornered financially, so they did away with that. So now you cannot expand into the sky. In other words, a lot of penny-wise, pound-foolish planning went into it. And just as a cautionary to all of us, let's not do that again.
I agree. If we're going to do it, let's do it right, and 20 years from now, somebody won't have to have this discussion with a new board.
Astrid?
That's a mundane question. How do people get up to that upper bus, and do people ever fall out of it?
people do fall out of it. Most people can get up there without difficulty. Again, if we have inmates who have some particular problems, that, you know, they're not as healthy as others, or they're older, more frail, then their housing assignment will be based in part on that frailty or that particular ailment, illness.
Will anything be done to improve the conditions of women for prisoners before you get a new jail, or are they just sort of stuck for the duration?
I have two choices, I think, and I sort of talk about that. The problem, if you will, when the satellite was designed, we have... Have you been in it? Okay. The satellite is a podular, and there's basically two big pods sitting here with a common area here. Okay, these pods hold a lot of prisoners. They're, you can view each other, you can hear each other. I'm required by law to have sight and sound separation. If I were to take one of those pods and put ladies in it, I effectively have destroyed 40 beds. That now, all of a sudden, I don't know where to put the men. They'll be sleeping on top of each other, so it's a real dilemma. If I take one of the smaller blocks out there, they're not big enough for all the women, so that even if I take one of them and we have properties come in and install barriers and things, which again will lead to supervision problems. Well, let's say we do all that, then I'm going to have ladies sleeping on the floor because the segments are not big enough unless I open up the whole thing, and then I destroy that many extra beds. I don't have a good answer. So I guess for now we're going to have to deal with it as best we can. The ladies are downtown in general. Other than that, we try not to use downtown.
Mr. James?
I have one other.
Oh, yes. Go ahead and follow up.
What do you think about these mandatory minimum sentences for nonviolent?
Don't answer that.
I'd like to.
Don't answer it. Mr. James?
Well, I was just going to say, Sheriff, I've been through those buildings, as you know, several times, not as an inmate, but as a visitor. maybe in the back of the car twice. But my problem with all this, every time we talk about buildings, and I know this is going to be a process, which I appreciate, and I hope that we include the employees, because the designers, they look at it through what they've been taught. And like when we did the highway department, by including the employees, sometimes we get a different view of what is needed. But my overall concern, and John Jay and I have talked about this in many designs and many buildings, is once we have it, we don't maintain it. And when I look at some of these photos, I take care of some apartments that were built in 1941. I mean, there's a lot of things always going wrong, always needing updated, but we have a plan and we have a budget and we work within that. When I've done some of the tours, the paint, the bugs, the infestations, I mean, those are minor things in my mind that if the right tools were in place, the budget items and the painting, I think that every building should have a schedule of repairs. But with all that said, I know that'll come to it. There are those out in the public, when we talk about building jails, they have the attitude that it doesn't have to be that nice because prisoners are there for a reason. I understand the safety issue. I truly appreciate that. But we're talking a lot of money that those that work out there are getting hit daily with a new tax or a new surcharge or a new penny tax for schools or what have you. And then we go to our own homes, which are falling apart, and we're saying, well, why can't they do better with what they have? And I heard Ralph speaking about there had been a deal when that building was built. I had a contractor today that was bending my ear. Thanks, Al. But no, he didn't send me. But he did mention to me that that building, when he worked on it, had been made so that it could be elevated up to the best of his knowledge. He was one of the workers. Whether that's true or not, all of them are going around. But all this, too, on one campus, I understand the need, but also I know there's video things in place, and looking at that old building, my last comment's going to be, when we moved out of the nursing home into the new one, and the new one needs some work now, in my opinion, but the old one, what Elias has done with that building is remarkable. So things can be done. I mean, there's a lot of new stuff out there with cameras, reventing. I understand your dilemma with rehousing prisoners, But we're looking at a major dollar item, and I hope this board, like Ralph said, takes the time to study it, to look at it. Consultants, you're right. They're going to give you an opinion. They get their paycheck, and they're gone. We got to live with it. So with that said, I just hope we move not so fast on this and that we move slowly and remember the times we are in. But I support you, Sheriff, because I do think your officers as a whole do a good job of it.
Well, thank you. And I do agree. I mean, I really anticipate just our discussion is going to be months as we talk about options and go from there. I don't expect anything happening quickly.
Carol? I wanted to ask the facilities manager about the facilities report. I remember last year when we had to do the HVA system downtown, that was the, I believe in that year, that was the only major repair that we did. Are there other major repairs that are necessary on the downtown jail right now?
Yes, there are within the next 3 to 5 years.
What kind of major repairs?
Well, the major ones are included in my report that's coming up here after the sheriff's finished.
Okay.
Mr. Quisenberry.
I'm going to take a different tack, and maybe Tom will allow you to answer the question, but I think I heard you say that folks who are driving on a suspended license are getting a mandatory sentence, and we're housing them in our jail. How many, you know, just roughly, how many folks are we housing in our jail for offenses of that kind of magnitude? 5%, 10%?
Oh, I would guess it's more than 10%. Lieutenant, you want to take a venture at that? What it would be today?
On the DUS side of it, I would guess, and this is just a guess because those numbers do go up and down depending on the time of the year, maybe 30% of them are in there on the traffic offenses, such as the DUS.
Yeah. Now, it is in that NIC report. If you look towards the back, they've got some statistics to go through it, but a significant number are in there on DUS type things, but also, I mean, also DUIs and repeated DUIs that, for all of our safety, probably need to be in jail.
Other questions for the sheriff?
Yes.
I'm going to sort of really jump the gun here. I mean, this is don't read too much into this question, but I assume at the time the current satellite jail was built, there was an estimate made in terms of the cost to add additional pods or to expand that facility. I know it was designed with expansion in mind. Can you or can anyone give us a general idea of sort of how much we would look at per bed or how much we'd look at per pod or something like that to expand that facility? And I'll tell you why I'm asking once I get a guess.
I'm going to defer that to Alan. I don't know. I wasn't here then.
I'm sorry. I do not have that number either. The only thing I can see is it was built to be added on to. That I do know.
What was the total cost of that facility and the number of beds?
It was a $10 million project in 1995. And it was anticipated that two additional pods, which would replace all of the beds downtown, and the sheriff's office operations, it's designed to expand to include that.
So
we've looked for a number, and we have not been able to find a number.
It's got two pods now. It costs $10 million. Some of the stuff was obviously fixed cost. You wouldn't have to do it again. So we can assume it would cost less than $10 million to do two more pods, even in 2011.
No. What I built into the public safety sales tax fund is an anticipated $15 million bond issue in 2014.
Okay. The reason I made that point, I've got a couple other brief points to make, but I mean in the sheriff's report here, I mean he charted this out for the next few years and identified as potentially as much as almost $2 million worth of repairs that might be necessary to this building. So I mean I think if the board is moving in the direction eventually of expanding this facility, you know, sooner rather than later, because frankly, you know, it looks like we're spending, you know, we're going to end up wasting a lot of money on the current facility the longer that we wait. I think that's something we need to keep in perspective. A couple of things. I don't want to go over territory that other people have covered, but I did want to thank, I mean, I think it needs to be reiterated that the sheriff
and the judiciary and the state's attorney have done what, to my mind, is an amazing job working together to get by with what we have in terms of bed capacity. I mean, as you mentioned, we had 300, you know, we're trying to house 300 prisoners at one point. This was an issue that came up a number of times during my recent campaign, and you know, I heard from a number of people in various areas of the process, you know, how that the impact of things like alternative sentencing, home monitoring, alternatives to incarceration have basically been the only reason why we've been able to get it by as long as we have. And so I think that's something we need to recognize. I was somewhat disappointed in this report, not in that, oh my God, things are so terrible, but I felt like it was almost deliberately inflammatory. I mean, there's language in here, the deplorable conditions within the downtown facility. I mean, we saw the video, we've seen the facility. You know, is the facility ideal? No. Is the facility obsolete? Yes. Is the facility inferior to the new facility, which is, you know, 15 years old? You know, of course it is. You know, it's an older building. There were some clearly, you know, questionable decisions in retrospect made in the construction of that, as a number of board members have pointed out, corners that were cut. But I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure it does a whole lot of good to declare it, to characterize it as deplorable. The report says there are no programs for females downtown. Obviously, clearly that's not true. I think we need to recognize this report as something. If this is what gets us moving on looking at this process, that's great. But I think, you know, we're right to take issue with the parts of this report that are wrong and not panic about this. And another issue I can say with the report, I mean, they talk about housing. They're really their only option, as far as I can tell, as far as housing. They say basically you need to get prisoners out of the downtown jail immediately, and essentially we should house them in trailers and donated construction trailers. And I'm having Katrina visions here. I mean, this does not seem like a workable short-term solution, let alone a long-term solution. I'm hoping that you'll address that. And they don't even mention things like housing prisoners at other county jails. I understand that's expensive. I watched a bill before county jail with Champaign County tax dollars, so I understand that that's not something we really want to do, but it is an option. It's not an option that's even indicated in the report. So I was, I guess, quite disappointed in the report. It seemed like there were numerous inaccuracies. It was sort of deliberately inflammatory and didn't really give us a whole lot of guidance. But I'll wrap up by saying I do think, you know, personally, I think it's important that we look to replacing the downtown jail. I think most of the other board members are in agreement. So, you know, we'll appreciate any guidance that you'll be able to give us.
Yeah, again, Al, this kind of goes to my opinion on it. These are experts in the field. I give them that. They know what they're doing. But they're familiar with brand new state-of-the-art jails. This is what they do, is go around and consult and build brand new jails. So they see our facility and they didn't like it. I would never suggest, I think, contractors are going to come in and donate prefab buildings or trailers. And even if they did, we've got to plumb them. We've got to wire them. I've got to staff them. We've got to secure them. I really don't think that's a good short-term answer at all. I think we're better, and I don't really like the fact we've got the ladies in the situation, but I don't see us having a viable alternative other than, at least for now, continuing with the downtown jail.
I mean, almost pictured these same guys coming back. If they hadn't been here already, and we'd adopted the solution on our own of housing people in, you know, portable trailers in a pen at the satellite jail, I can see them coming in and saying, those are deplorable conditions for their own reasons. So I'm struggling with how we can, with these sort of interim solutions. I think we need to maintain a sense of perspective and look to replace the downtown jail, but to do it right.
Yeah, I agree. And in their defense, I asked them to come in. I asked them to give us a report. And in part, that's because Deb says, hey, the county board's interested now. We've got the money. Let's talk about this. So,
thank you.
Before Mr. Mosher, someone else who hasn't had an opportunity to talk.
Have we still got the recommendations that were made when this building was built out here, as far as it, any planning about how those other pods be added on? And
I
know they do somewhere. I was around here when that happened.
We should somewhere.
I'm kind of like Tom. I assume we do somewhere. I assume if somebody dug through maybe all of Benny's old stuff, we'd find some at least rough sketches about how they envisioned it, but I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to be here, but after that courthouse fiasco, that old building. I feel like an old jail, like an old house. My dad used to say, you jack up the chimney and you put another one up. And that, to me, is the condition that thing's in. Because you can't cut corners in the beginning and fix it in the end. It just can't be done.
Mr. Jay.
For just a little bit of humor, I would like, Sheriff,
yes,
are you
sir?
Paying good attention to me, sir?
I always do.
Those four guys right there that you got in jail, we don't want them in, out of county. We'd like to get you to get them out of state. And those two over there, too. All of us in the back row would appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying now.
Mr. Chairman, on a serious note, I happen to have...
I thought that was pretty serious.
I think Ralph had something, you know, 35 years old, if Mosier don't hit me here, that's not very long for a brick-and-mortar building to last. And I argued, and I'm not going to belabor it because you've all heard the speech before, but Stan and I have argued and argued that we're not taking care of our buildings, and we wouldn't be looking at these costs that we were just referring to on the back if we had been taking care of that building for the last 35 years. But having said that, that's water on the bridge, and we need to do whatever we need to do. And I do agree with my colleague up here that I took a little bit of offense when I was reading that, and Sheriff, I actually read it, believe it or not. The dirty walls, the dingy walls, God, I can give you guys some paint and you can fix that in a minute.
You can, and gradually we are, but we have to have a whole block open so those guys can come in and work. For Justin, our maintenance guy, spent the day in two of the blocks downtown because right now we've got an empty fixing stuff.
Can't you get the prisoners to do it for an extra chicken leg or something? You don't barter in your jail?
We do, but I don't want to get off topic, but believe it or not, in the last 4 years or so, society has changed so much. It used to be if we said to an inmate, you want to be a trustee, we'll let you see a movie once a week, and once a month we'll give you a piece of pizza, or we'll give you some pizza. They knocked down Nancy's door to be on the list. We literally got to a point where they'd rather lay around in their cell, and we've now got to pay them a dollar a day to do it because we couldn't get enough to do it.
Can I have a follow-up on that, Mr. Chairman? Do we have any trustees at all anymore then?
Yes, we use trustees for the kitchen. There's probably 10 to 15 in the kitchen. And then they clean it up. We call them floor trustees, and then they do the laundry.
Thank you.
Anyone else that hasn't had a chance to talk? Mr. O'Connor.
Thanks, Tom. I just had one question. How many of these consultants live and pay taxes in Champaign County?
Absolutely none. You've got to live 150 miles away to be a consultant. You know that. I do encourage... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What I was going to say before I dropped everything. I do encourage you guys, call me or call the lieutenant. We'll take the board members through both facilities as often as you want to. We've got the video. That is not a general invite to the entire community of Champaign County. I don't want to be rude, but it's not Disneyland. We're not going to take everybody through, but you folks have to make the decisions, and I want you to have as much firsthand knowledge as you possibly can.
If the four of you do end up going to this program, this week program, I do hope then that we set up a study session where the four of you can share what you've learned so we can benefit from that as we then go through this process.
I will share with you, Patsy, that is absolutely the intention. Everything that we learn is going to be shared. Now, the written documentation, everything is going to be shared. There's no point in doing it if we don't have all 27 folks invested with the same information.
And the good news is this is free. NIC pays for all of us to go and pays for the school. It's not going to cost us anything. But I would honestly, from my personal point of view, I'd like at least some, what do you want to call it, straw indication that you folks are interested before we all go do this.
I'll deal with that in a minute. I'm trying to see if anyone who hasn't had, did you have you talk first? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have actually been in the satellite prison. I stopped by one day and was given a tour, and I would be happy to go to the downtown jail to get a better perspective looking at the video, and the floor plan isn't going to give me a good enough idea, somewhat. But so I would be more than happy to go down to the downtown jail. I've also been, had the pleasure, a professor took a class and I went with, in my class to Pontiac High Maximum Security Prison, as well as Dwight, which is a prison designed specifically for women. And that prison, I don't know if you're familiar with it, is over 100 years old. And we've purchased homes and remodeled them. I guess I'm one of those kind of people that says, let's look into a remodel, if at all possible. I know that it's not a 2x4 wall that we're moving around, and it's a potentially bigger job, but I would rather us try and figure out how, if at all possible, we could remodel and work the semantics out with the downtown, because first of all, we are still in down economy. I don't know what we're going to do with that downtown jail. Are we going to be able to sell it? Are we going to be able to get the city of Urbana interested in it? What are we going to be able to do with this? And then the demolition of that building alone, if that's what needs to happen, is going to be very, very expensive. So before we, move forward on constructing, adding on to the satellite, I do want us to, review any type of remodel to that downtown. So I think that seems reasonable and fair before we move forward on anything else.
Certainly it does. Stephanie, you brought up something, and some of you know this, some of you may not. Whatever you guys decide to do, when we consider a county jail, I want you to keep one thing in mind. A county jail is basically a maximum security prison. It is. We have to hold all kinds of people, so the whole place has to be maximum security. We actually have inmates go to their lawyers and say, get me sentenced to prison because I've got more freedom in prison than I do in a county jail. That's just the nature. It has to be designed and built that way, if whatever we do.
Jim?
I would encourage people, if they haven't been there, I've been in both facilities, and looking at the pictures is helpful, but I think you get a much better feel being in the building and what you can see and you can't see. And I hate to see 35-year-old buildings just discarded too, but I guess I would think that we might consider other uses for it, but it would seem to be if we could have everything in the same area, it would be much, much, much better.
Now, Mr. Kurtz. Nope? Okay. Anyone else that hasn't had an opportunity to ask the question? I'm going to go the second rounds for people who are interested. I'm going to go with Ms. Burson and then Mr. James.
Dan spoke earlier about when she was taken through the jail some years ago. The women had to take everything they were going to need with them in the morning and go to wherever they put them for the day. And they couldn't go back to their rooms until evening, no matter what they needed. Is that still true?
I may defer this to the lieutenant. I'm assuming we're talking about where we close their individual cells to keep them in a day area where we can see them. But, Lieutenant, do you want
to? Yeah, every morning they have to clean out their rooms, whatever they think they're going to need throughout the day, take it out to the day room, and then we shut the doors behind them so that that officer that's looking through that window can see everybody, or hope to see everybody that's in the block. If those doors were open, they would be in there all day, and the officers would not be able to see, and we'd have to have more manpower in order for the officers to physically go inside of the block, just the way that facility is designed.
What happens, excuse me, folks, if they catch a cold, they start their period? Do they have to know they're going to in advance?
No, we will let them back in their room or give them supplies, whatever they will need. If they have a cold, medical will see them. And we do make exceptions for inmates that have medical issues.
Now, Mr. James.
So you're talking on this week trip that you're all going to be going on. Where was that going to be, and are they going to be showing you, like, building designs, or are they just going to be walking you through some of the jail standards for today?
It's in Aurora, Colorado. There is a new facility, and I don't know if it's in Aurora or an adjacent county, that they use as an example. I think a lot of it, though, stand as classroom-type work and education like that.
So, Tom, if you can't make it, let me know.
Other questions? Thank you, Sheriff. Great deal for the presentation. This is a process, and it's, no one is going to be making a decision tonight about we're building a facility at the satellite, we're tearing down the downtown, we're reconfiguring. We have none of the information to make a final decision of that nature. But this is a process, and I hope everyone stays engaged in the process, reads the papers. I think the NIC report was actually very interesting, because I think it stimulates, it lights a fire under the board, even though there's things that people don't like in there, to make us address this issue. And it's pretty easy not to address issues and then let it sit there for 10 more years after we've been sued by this one and that one, and then finally address it. I don't want us to do that. I want us to have the discussion and come up with a plan and follow through with it, even if it's a plan that I'm not in love with or we're all not in love with, but a plan that gets us from point A to point B. And the real point of the whole thing is we want our jail staff to be able to perform their functions in a safe, sanitary, healthy environment. We want to protect the safety of the inmates. This is not just a situation where you want to just protect the employees. It can be a very risky environment for all parties. Penological standards change over a period of 35 years. Housing standards change over a period of 35 years. Building codes change. So it's not something that should shock us that this facility is not state-of-the-art at this point. We know it's not state-of-the-art. The question is, where do we go? I do want to hear from our facilities director. His report you have this evening, if you could briefly share it with the board members.
Yeah, thank you. It's the last two pages of the handout show report I prepared. To answer the questions earlier about what needs to be done, I tried to give you a very, very brief history of the building from 1980 to current standards, picking out just the major issues that were done, and a few of the major faults. I'm not going to read this to you, but my predecessor, my boss, told me from the day I started back in 1981 that probably we started remodeling this building the day the paint dried, or before the paint dried. We were actually cutting holes in block walls, making access panels so we could access the plumbing. They put fixtures in places we couldn't even access. There's no way we could repair them. But throughout the years, mid-80s and 90s, adding more beds and the major equipment that's been repaired and or been replaced. On the second and third page are seven major items that have been addressed and brought to your attention by past studies and or current pricing that I've done. It looks like, well, we are going to probably within the next 3 to 5 years spend between $1.5 million or $1.8 million on this building, just on roofs, locks, if we keep going using it as this facility, not to mention the money we need to put in on paint, pest control, a few other things that were mentioned tonight. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Mr. Nudo.
I guess I know there's a
feeling that we should work with the existing building, but I know from talking to construction people that it's sometimes, most of the time, more expensive to retro a building than it is to scrape it and start over. I had an example of the old train station in downtown Champaign where somebody wanted to move in there. We brought in a construction company, and he basically said to him, I'd be better off just scraping it, and I can duplicate it for you. I can build the same station that you see here and give it some historic feeling, but the cost is going to be about 20-25% more because of retro code and some of the impediments that old buildings just do not have in today's world. So I can appreciate what you're saying there. I would just also caution everybody that the land under that building has intrinsic value, maybe right not now because of commercial values, but ultimately it has some value to somebody who needs to be near a courthouse, and that money could be used toward retiring bond debt or reducing the amount of bonding that we have if we do decide to build a something onto the satellite. So that being said, there's two ways of looking at it, and I'm glad that we would take the approach of getting an expert in here to tell us which way is the most economical. There's one other issue, and that is the duplication of staff. I mean, you talk about the staff that's involved with covering two different buildings. I'm sure with the number of restrooms that you have to duplicate, the number of conference rooms you have to duplicate, those kinds of things that staff only needs one of or less of with one single building, you got to look at the whole picture. So I realize what we're saying about preserving buildings only 30 years old, but sometimes a building has obsolescence before its time. Thank you.
Mr. Alex.
I just wanted to apologize. When I was waving this around earlier, I referred to it as the sheriff's report. It is, in fact, the facilities director's report, and we appreciate the information. It's very useful.
Thank you.
Ms. Adams.
I appreciate the list in the back of this packet for us. I'm looking at that, and I think you just gave us an estimated cost of what it would be, in the probably about $1.5 million to repair the building, the current building.
Yes, that is correct.
And to build a new building is going to cost considerably more than that.
It will cost considerably more than that, yes.
And then on top of the building of the new building, you'll then have these same kind of maintenance issues 10 years later that we have with this building. We will still have to deal with the roof. We'll have to deal with paint. We'll have to deal with some of the same repairs. If standards change on jails and locks, we'll have... So what I'm suggesting is that even if you build a new building, brand new, I just remodeled my bathroom, did it from scratch, took everything out, redid it. However, I still have to maintain the facility that I just built. And you will have roofs, locks, whatever other things change in 10, 15 years on the new building, i.e. what we have on the satellite jail right now. I would like to see, really, and I think we talked about this when we, last year when we was talking about the HVA system. I understand, and I want to say on the record, that these issues are not new issues to my attention. They're not new issues. The desire to build a new building, an extension on this satellite jail, is not a new issue. This is a continuing issue. So the planned date to finish by a certain time has been already set. I would admonish the board members to, A, look at some of the other facilities within our local area, see how much money they have to do on those jails, meaning maintaining them in our local area so that we do some kind of cost comparison, as well as looking at our staffing report that is in the inmate report that is in the Institute, what is it, the National Institute, Department of Justice that just came and did that report. The numbers are going down. They weren't going up. So I understand what the sheriff is saying, that, you know, at any given time, you could have influx of numbers similar to what we have when we have our nursing home. It goes up and down based on circumstances, people die, whatever the case may be. But I have not seen where we, other than not repairing the facility, where we cannot repair this facility. And I'm of the opinion that a building that's 30 years old, from all visual looking, meaning from the outside, The building looks in great shape. From the inside, of course, and I've been in both facilities, from the inside, obviously it needs some work. And so I would like to really see a lot of study sessions done. I would like for us to have some public sessions so the public, and I have received emails and texts about the downtown jail. They were not positive. So I know that the conditions need repair, and the complaints weren't that they couldn't be repaired, but that they weren't repaired. And so I would like for us to also make this process not a permanent direction that we're automatically going to build a jail, because that's what I've heard from a lot of members tonight. Well, let's see what we can do with that building. Let's start working on this one. And then I would like for the county board, the administration, to present to the public exactly where are we going to get all this money from. So that those are my comments on the current situation.
Mr. Mosher.
I watched this board kick the can down the road on an old jail, on a youth detention center, and a courthouse. It always gets down to where somebody put a gun to your head and said, you got to do something. And when you get in that position, your options are pretty limited. But somewhere along the line, somebody's got to say, we're not going to kick it any further, we're going to fix it. And it's been an embarrassment, really, to you and me both. We watched the new jail and the youth detention center and the courthouse and the nursing home just get pushed right to the edge before we did something. And then in the case of that building down there, mistakes were made because they didn't have the money and they had to do something. And then we sent prisoners out of here for 10 years to other places and paid and paid and paid, and we finally got a referendum through on that jail, a new one. We built that youth detention center on a wing and a prayer, thinking that quarter cent might pass and we'd have a way out on that. And it did pass, and we had a way out on the courthouse. I don't know what the way out on this is, but sooner or later, somebody's got to sit down and make a decision and do it. And this board hasn't done it for 30 years.
That being said, I think we are going to do something. I think we are going to discuss it. We are going to strategize. We're going to figure out, as a group, where we're going, what we want. We're not going to kick the can down 10 years. That's irresponsible. So on that, Mr. Mosier, you and I are in total agreement. I was here for most of those projects, and I know they were crisis management projects, and some of them came out really, really good. Others, imperfect, to put it mildly. Tonight's the first night we've had the big discussion about this stuff. There's going to be more, and I totally agree with Patsy that we're going to have study sessions, and I agree with Carol, there was going to be study sessions in which we have to have the public invested in this. The public needs to understand that there is a problem, why there is a problem, what the possible cures are. We have lots of folks at the University of Illinois and in this community that have knowledge about penology and criminology and buildings. So I think we should pull in some of the expertise that exists in this community to take a look at some of these issues. I don't think anyone has concluded there is one solution and only one solution to this situation. If anyone has, share it with me. I don't think there's one single solution yet, but I think this has been very, very useful tonight. One of the things I would like to do so that it becomes a permanent part of the record is I want these reports received and placed on file so that it's part of the record. Mr. Quisenberry.
So moved.
Seconded by Mr. Langenheim. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Next steps, this is going to stay on the agenda, and it's not going to die. And at some point, you know, we are going to go to this conference, bring back information, hopefully have a study session, hopefully plan the next series of study sessions in which we get that input, get more information, maybe the direction of what kind of public study we need, the finances, what, depending on what we decide.
That will decide what kind of financial, you know, we know that there's some money that comes, what year in 2015, and from the quarter cent. If you're going to do something with that money for this purpose, the planning has to be well underway, because you don't plan a facility in 6 weeks. It doesn't happen. Any further business? Yes.
I move adjournment.
Is there a second?
Second.
We're adjourned.